Good morning.
Right.
Hey, we're so glad. Again, let me reiterate what Jordan mentioned earlier. Thank you so much for being here on Mother's Day. I know a lot of times it's funny how this dynamic works. Moms are very influential. And so a lot of times our moms can get us to go to church with them instead of us getting mom to come to church with us. So if you're a mother and you're a guest this morning, we just want to say thank you so much for being here. If you're a guest, if you're a mother and you're here all the time, you the bomb. And you, we absolutely have some incredible women in this church. And if you're just married or, you know, you've been married for a few years, don't drink the water because we have people getting pregnant left and right. Man, we said something about, you know, expanding Motown, and everybody took that to heart, I guess. And Motown is our children's ministry. So this is a very special Mother's Day for a lot of people because it's their first kind of glimpse into that life. So anyway, all of that to say, thank you so much for being here. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. This week, we're continuing a series called Time. And last week, we talked about how time, it's funny how we treat time. Sometimes we don't appreciate the gift that time is. And if time is a resource, it's this precious commodity. And I think oftentimes, with respect to time, that we don't treat it like that. We kind of squander time. You ever do this? And we talked about some of the time wasters, social media, television, some of the things that, and not that those are bad things. It's just that there are times in our life where we spend a disproportionate amount of our time and energy on those things that are urgent. And we talked about the difference between urgent and important. And if we focus more on things that are important, then we won't get blindsided by things that are urgent, because urgent is I think you understand urgent. Urgent are the people that call you and they're always freaking out about something. And then when you get down to it, they're freaking out about nothing. Okay, so this week is a continuation. Some of you felt that one, right? You're like, oh yeah, I had them phone calls this week. So this week is kind of a continuation of that thought, and it's pun intended there. We're going to talk about taking some time to think and how we think. Have you ever used that expression? And you're like, man, I just need some time to think. I need to get away and clear my head. I don't want to talk for a minute or an hour or ever. I need some time to think. And what I want to talk about today is just how we use our time to think. And often we don't take time to think. And that usually gets us in more situations and quandaries, right? So if we take time to think, I think that it lends itself to helping us to become the people that God wants us to be. It helps us to grow closer to Him if we take time to think. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. According to research done by the International Business Times, funny, Americans only spend about 13 minutes a day thinking. 13 minutes. Now, that's kind of like, hey, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not checking my phone. That doesn't count as thinking. Like 13 minutes a day of like, hey, I'm just going to sit here for a minute and I'm going to think. Only 13 minutes a day. And I'm like, man, I am not normal, because I'll catch myself just, you know, squirrels and daydreaming and just thinking regularly. And I think it's important and I think it's healthy. And it's funny how the Bible has so much to say about what we think about. And I'm convinced that you've heard these expressions called self-talk. And it's essentially us thinking in our head about ourselves. And the vast majority of our self-talk is negative. Negative, right? And if we have negative self-talk and thoughts, then ultimately we'll have a negative view of ourselves, and you won't be all that God has called and created you to be. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. That was free. Thinking is becoming a bit of a lost art. It's something that we don't do. It's something that we don't value. It's something that we certainly don't take, according to research, we don't take time to do. But I think we should. I think it has tremendous value for us as followers of Jesus. It's not something that's emphasized in the culture. And that's just funny because, I mean, if you step back and you think about that statement, oh, our culture doesn't emphasize thinking. No kidding, right? Like, you see the dumb stuff that people do and you're like, should have thought about that one. So that's just the way that I thought about us not thinking, because you can see so many ways that we could have some fun with that. We're not going to do that. So the first point today, this is the first thought on thinking and taking time to think, is that right thinking equals right living. And man, that is just so true. And you can fight against that and you can buck against that and you can resist that all you want, but it's just the truth. If you're kind of a nerd or tech guy, you understand input and output and the kind of the processing, right? So input determines output. And I think that just in very basic terms, like what you allow to come in and what you dwell on will ultimately determine what you do. Like your beliefs and what you think about dictate your behavior and how you act, and even more importantly, how you view yourself, because then that determines what you do, right? And so the things that we think about are incredibly important. If you're thinking about the wrong things, you're probably going to do the wrong things. If you think negatively about other people, you're going to treat people negatively. You're not going to value other people. And it all starts with what we think about. So right thinking equals right living. Man, this is an old adage. Like, you have heard this all of your life, I'm sure, or some iteration or variation thereof. Like, we've heard this. And if even if we hate it, man, and we don't like it, it's still true. In fact, I think it's more true today than it's ever been, because we have so many opportunities to think about stupid stuff, and we're presented with these things that we can think about and these things that we can watch and these things that we can dwell on. And we have this tendency, to what we think about will determine the way that we live and the things that we do. And so this is an adage that's age old, but it's true. Like, cliches are cliches for a reason, right? And so I don't know about you, but I just know that myself personally, most of my struggles with sin start right here. Like, 95% of the battle with temptation and sin is all between my ears. It's what I think about. It's how I think about things. It's how I think about other people and maybe the attitudes that I have. It's all in my head. And I think if we get that right, it changes a lot of the problems and the struggles that we have. Because you can go on, man. You can keep trying to fight this battle in your head, and you cannot change the way that you think about things, and the struggle's still going to be real. Right? But if you start changing the way you think about things, and you start focusing on and dwelling on different things, then I think it lends itself to helping us fight this fight against sin. And so for us, we need to take time to think about the right things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is one of those the very often used verses when it comes to this. But it's so good. And if we live by this, I don't know very many people that do this. But I'm convinced that if this was the baseline for our lives would be completely different. And this is what it says. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, sisters, moms, right? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And man, we just don't, right? Like, we just don't. Like, man, we think about stupid stuff, and we celebrate stupid stuff, and we celebrate things that are not lovely, and we celebrate things that are not commendable, and we put at a place in our minds and our hearts and our thoughts, like, things that shouldn't be based on this kind of, I guess, backdrop or test. And if we do, if we focus on the right things, man, I'm just convinced it changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we treat people. It changes the way that we interact. It changes our relationship. It changes every single thing about our life if we get our thinking right. That's why it's important to take time to think, but it's not only important just to take time to think. It's important to take time to think about the right things, right? Because, man, I know that if we're all being honest, it's real easy to think about stupid stuff. And I know my tendency is, if something bugs me or bothers me, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to think about it some more. Right? Like, somebody, it's just crazy how we'll do this. And you've probably experienced this kind of struggle. Somebody can say something nice to you, and you're like, cool, and you forget about it in 30 seconds. Somebody is rude, and you forget about it never. Right? You think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it. And who cares? Like, they probably don't even matter. Not, you understand what I'm saying. In the course of your life, and as far as influence in your life, it's irrelevant. Who cares what they think? You got to think about the right things and focus on the right things. So as we take time to think about these things, the right things, the lovely things, the pure and just and noble things, it changes us. And here's the thing. We talked last week about how, if you're not a follower of Jesus, these rules don't apply to you. These standards don't apply to you. But if you are, then this is our standard. And so even if the world doesn't value thinking, and even if the world doesn't take time to think, that doesn't let us off the hook, because this is our standard. And so I think we've got to be willing to be a little bit different. Like, you've got to be willing to kind of maybe stand out in a crowd. Wow. It's amazing that you have to encourage people to do that and stand out for the right reasons. Like, we've got every moron in the world will stand out for the wrong reasons because they're trying to get a video to go viral, right? But what if we stood out? What if we stood out for the right reasons? Because we were willing to be different, because we took time to think and we focused on the right things. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. This is one of those that's, again, you've probably heard if you grew up in church, but it's so powerful and it's so true. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by thinking, right? That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, again, it's kind of funny in Christianity, Christians run around like chickens with their head cut off, searching for the will of God. Like, oh, I just need to know what God's will for my life is. But they never take time to stop and think. I wonder what God is doing in this circumstance. I wonder what God wants to do in me in this season. And we kind of jump from thing to thing, and we just run and run. We're ADD, and we just, right, just go, go, go. And we never stop and think. Because according to this scripture, which should be the baseline and foundation of our life, if you stop and think, if you renew your mind, you'll be able to clear your mind and see, discern what the will of God is. And we just, so many times, we don't do that. Like, we've just got this fix for entertainment, right? This need to be just constantly stimulated. And just stop. Just think. It's okay. We encourage thinking around here. It's a miracle. So, and that's what's cool for us. Like, here's it, in the beginning, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, or don't be conformed to the ways of this world. Even if nobody else is doing it, you can still do it. It's okay. And then what's really fascinating about this is the second part of that verse. It says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The word, I love to point this out anytime we use this verse, because I thought it was an epiphany for me, and I hope it lands as well for you. But the word transformed is the word that we get our word metamorphosis from. And it's kind of the process, like if you take a caterpillar and it goes into the cocoon and it becomes a butterfly, that's the transformation, that's a metamorphosis. And I thought, how fascinating is that? That if we take time to think and we think about the right things, that we will be transformed. You go from Heimlich the caterpillar to a butterfly if you watch Bug's Life as a kid. One of the greatest movies ever. If you didn't, it's your fault. You're missing out. So the way that we think, it determines to a great deal how we view other people and our willingness to be different. Having our mindset on the right things will help us have a clearer judgment. It'll help us to see things better, right? And what that does is it just allows us to discern what God's will is for our life. And again, I know this is something that so many people struggle with, and they just have so many questions. And it's funny how you talk to people sometimes, and they're like, I got a question. And they ask you the question, but they never give you an opportunity to answer the question. And I think we do the same thing with God. Like, God, what is the will? What is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? And we never stop to think and listen for the answer, right? So I think it's important that we stop and think. I think another really important component of this as far as thinking is to think humbly. Because I don't know about you, but I can think about me way too much. And what happens when you think about you way too much is you have this very skewed, distorted perception of life, like you are it and the world revolves around you. And nobody in here has probably ever struggled with pride, selfishness, narcissism. You know, we're not entering into an age when the most narcissistic generation ever will be in control and power. Frightening. I'll tell you guys a personal story. I want to be honest with you guys at all times. So if I have struggles, I don't mind sharing my struggles. I took my son to a baseball game on Friday. We went to Texas A&M, and we're at a college baseball game. Obviously, we're on a college campus, and so it's easy to navigate through a college campus because everybody's like, you know, looking through. So nobody's walking, nobody's paying attention. You just keep your head up and walk. It's really easy, simple. And so we sat down. We're sitting kind of on this grassy hillside. We're watching the game. We kind of found the only seat that we could find, and I had to sit by the dumbest person on the face of the planet. And it was a college student, and she was a girl, and she clearly did not think, right? And so after about 5 minutes, details are irrelevant at this point, right? And so after about 5 minutes, I stood up, and I looked at her, and I should not have done this, but I told her she was an idiot, and I said, you have zero social awareness. Because I've got my son with me, and the things that she's talking about, she didn't need to be talking about. She didn't think about other people. All she thought about was herself. Right? And so let me give you guys an out. If you're a parent, you're going to have crazy moments, man. You're going to have moments where you would do things so far out of character for you that you're going to call a 19-year-old girl an idiot and storm away. So it happens. But the problem is, like, let's just kind of back up a little bit. The problem is that she didn't think about other people. She didn't take time to consider other people. And I think for us, if we just went in our thinking, when we take time to think, if we stop and think about other people, man, it just keeps us in check a little bit. It keeps us from thinking too highly of ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think." And I think that if it's in there, it's in there for a reason. I think it's in there because we probably have a tendency to think of ourselves and to think more highly of ourselves than we should. In our thinking, we should think of other people. A great example of this, have you ever been, maybe you're going through just the situation and you're thinking about it and you're like, man, this really stinks. Like, I don't understand. I'm confused. And so you're thinking about something maybe that happened to you. If you stop kind of in the middle of your pity party and start thinking about people that are going through the exact same thing that you're going through, I think it changes your perspective. If you start thinking about people who are going through things that are way worse than what you're going through, it changes your perspective. Man, it unlocks compassion and empathy in your life for other people, because now you kind of, to a degree, you understand the struggle, right? Like, okay, I've experienced this. And in our thinking, if we think about other people, it changes the way that we live. And that's why it's important to take time to think. So that's the first point, is right thinking equals right living. The second point, to be poetic, is the think link. I'm just convinced that there's this connection to us and God when we take time to think. And for me, I don't know about you, but most of my prayers are up top, right? No, I don't pray out loud a whole lot. Most of my prayers are like internal dialogue and conversation with God. And it's cool to think about, kind of with respect to thinking and taking time to think, that that's a lot of times what prayer is. It's us just thinking about God and dialoguing with God in our minds. And so thinking is something that happens on the inside of us. And what's really cool is, like, in Christianity, so much of Christianity is intangible. It's what God is doing on the inside of us that other people can't see unless we're willing to share that with them. And I think thinking is so much like that. I'm convinced that if we take time to think about the right things, more specifically, the right one, if we take time to think about God, that we'll have a closer connection to God. And it really kind of comes back to the first point, like, what input equals output, right? So if we think about God more, then we grow closer to God. That's the result. That's the output portion of it. So several times in Scripture, you see this correlation between thinking and meditating and praying. And we don't even use the word meditation in Christianity anymore, because it's been commandeered by weird religions, right? So, like, we don't even use that expression anymore, although it's in the Bible. It's funny how that works. Like, we completely neglect or negate certain words just because other people misappropriate it. But for us, like, thinking and meditation, really, it's just deep, concentrated thought. And so we're told over and over in the Old Testament, like, you see this phrase. It talks about meditating. It talks about thinking about certain things. And so we're told, kind of by virtue of it being there, for us to do that. And we don't do that. Right? Okay. Just expressing my thoughts, taking time to think, right? It's crazy. It's just crazy how meditation is something that we're kind of told that is good, and there's value in it, and there's this connection and closeness to God when it comes through that. Because I'm convinced that how many times prayer isn't even prayer, it's just a wine fest, right? And it's a monologue, it's not a dialogue. And I think that's fine, that's okay, it's great to have those, but I think it's also good sometimes to sit there and shut up and think and listen and just kind of find what it is, again, kind of clearing your mind so that you can discern what the will of God is for your life. And I think that's cool. I think it's important. I think it's healthy for us because, again, we just, you know, we need stimulation. We got to go, 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 go. Stop. Think. Meditate. There's power in that. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." And I thought, what a fascinating thing. So David, who wrote Psalm 115, he was just an incredible guy with a lot of struggles. If you read anything about the life of David, you get to see that it was really important for him to meditate because he messed up a lot. And I find a lot of comfort in that for myself and you, because I've seen you too, right? It's important for us it's fine that we mess up and we make mistakes, but it's also important that we understand that to overcome and to get past our struggles and our sins, that meditation is a big part of that. Prayer is a huge part of that. And so he says, I'll meditate on your precepts, your principles, and I'll fix my eyes on your ways. Prayer and thinking and meditation, it's kind of a recentering. It's a realigning our lives. Maybe we're headed this way and we need to get back over here. And I think kind of that deep, concentrated thought helps us to do that. The word meditate in the Hebrew, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's S-I-Y-A-C-H. It's funny. I listened to the guy. So there's this website. I'm going to share with you guys. You're always supposed to kind of lean in when I start to tell a personal story. You're like, yeah, it's going to be good. Apparently, my stories they're not that good. And so it's funny because there's a website that I use. I'm not even sure if it's accurate. It could be some dude from, you know, China making up stuff. And so every time you can click on these definitions, and it reads the transliterated Hebrew word for you. So anyway, it's really cool. It sounds like an old Jewish guy saying, siach. And he's got like this, right? That's my life. So it's funny because I'll usually do this late at night. Shelly's asleep. I know she's going to wake up one night. She's like, what are you doing? It's Jake from State Farm. So the Hebrew word for meditate, this is what it means. It means to put forth thought, to meditate, to muse, to commune, speak, complain, ponder, and sing. And I thought, what a cool word, man. Like, you know, obviously there's so many components of that. And there are parts of it that I'm just like, man, I'm glad that's in there. I'm glad that complain is in there. Because sometimes I just need to complain, and nobody else wants to listen, but God wants to listen. And so sometimes I just complain. Sometimes it's man, I don't understand this, and I'm really frustrated about this. And God's okay with that. In fact, we're somewhat encouraged to do that. Like, take, you know, all of your cares and cast them on God, because he can handle it. He loves you, and he cares about you enough to listen to your petty problems. Because if we're being honest, that's what most of our problems are. God's big enough to handle all of that stuff. And part of this thinking process can be like, God, you know what? I don't understand this. And maybe I'm a little bit frustrated at the way this is playing out, and I'm doing what I thought you wanted me to do, and things are going like this. What's up? God's okay with that, but you don't live there. You kind of express that, and then at the end of the day, you've got to put your trust in him that he's good, that it's all going to work out. Because this is what I know, and this is what you've probably experienced. It always does, right? It's all going to work out. It always does. Every time that you're in this situation and you're in this mess and you don't know how you're going to get through it, somehow you get through it. Like, you get to see the sustaining grace of God through all of your life if you look back with the privilege of hindsight and you see how he's worked in circumstances. And what's cool is if we take time to think on the front end, it alleviates a lot of the pressure as we go through it. There's peace and we can have comfort even when we're going through trials and storms. Isaiah 26:3, it says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And that's it, man. Like, that's the power of thinking. Man, we can express our concerns. We can express our fears. We can express our problems and voice our drama, right, to God, and he can handle it. But after that, you've got to trust him. And your mind needs to be stayed on him, that he's good, that he's in control, and he'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. And there's such a clear correlation to this and prayer, to meditating and prayer. I'm not sure about you, but again, so many of my prayers are not verbal. They're nonverbal. It's an internal dialogue. And I just think that God loves that. Like, I think God loves these conversations that we have in our head with him. I'm not God, so obviously I don't know that definitively, but I'm just convinced that he does. And I think it's just, how cool would it be if somebody came up to you and they told you, hey man, I've been thinking about you a lot lately. It would be really creepy or really honoring, yeah. Right? And so I think that when it comes to God, when we think about him a lot, I think it honors him. I think it's one of those things that he appreciates. And so what's really cool, if you kind of think about this in terms, just in very natural and human terms, we figure out what people want and what people would do when we spend time with them, right? So you've probably got friends or maybe your spouse, and you've been around them enough, and you've seen them respond in every situation kind of over and over. And what's cool is you know what they would do in a situation even if they weren't there. And that's the goal of thinking. That's the goal of meditating on God. You know what he would do in this situation. You know what he wants you to do in this situation. And that's the power and the goal for us of thinking. So that's the second one. It's the think link. Thinking connects us to God. It draws us closer to God. It helps us to understand what His will is for our life and what He would do in this situation. That's the power of it and the goal of it. The last point is this. Think leads to do. And we kind of already established this, that what we think about ultimately determines what we do. There's a proverb, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that we use probably entirely too much. It's funny, I was reading last night how we actually use it out of context, but we're not going to get into that because it's in context for this context, right? But I don't think you can extract, even if you extract it and you try to use it as a standalone, I think it still has power and the meaning can be, it correlates to what we're talking about. So Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And another version said, "As a man thinketh," the Old Testament, the King James is like, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man." And I think it's just powerful. It's incredible that you see the power of what we think about translating into action, translating into real life, translating into your repeated patterns of behavior, your lifestyle, which ultimately determines who you are and the legacy that you leave. But it all starts with what we think. Starts with what we think about. Starts with what we think about ourselves. I heard a quote from A.W. Tozer, and it says, "The most important thing about a man is what he thinks about God." And I'm like, man, that is true. Like, not just what you think about God, but if you think about God and the view that you have of God and the view of God's mercy in your life and how it works. And so thinking is so incredibly important. This is why thinking is important, because it ultimately determines who we are and what we do, because think determines and creates behaviors and actions. So we should take some time every day to think. Think, slow down and think. Even if it's just the national average of 13 minutes. Yeah. Just take 15 minutes a day and think. Yeah. You don't need the television on, right? Let's throw our phones in the bathtub, the toilet, and flush them. I'm just convinced the world will be a better place if we just did away with a lot of the stuff that we have. But who am I? Right? I digress. You'll see. 10 years, just wait till 10 years when all of these self-absorbed, narcissistic folks are running everything, and we have some problems. Customer service, anyway. But we should take some time every day to think. I think it's incredibly important, and I think it changes not just, you know, the long-term projection and trajectory of our lives. It changes our lives now. It changes the way that we treat other people now. It changes the way that we view other people now. It changes how we respond to situations now, because kind of coming back to what we talked about last week, the difference between urgent and important, I'm convinced that if we take time to think about things that are actually important, then things that are urgent aren't going to knock us off kilter. It's not going to mess up our day, and it's not going to ruin our lives, and we're not going to post on Twitter, "My life sucks." Ugh. Right? Because we took time to think about things that actually matter. Things that are actually important. And so we're not blindsided and we're not pulled and misaligned by just because that's the way that society is or the culture that we live in is. If we take time to think about things that are important, you don't get overwhelmed by things that are urgent. If you think and you take time to think about just the ridiculous love and grace that God has for you. Man, sometimes I'll do this and I've tried to do this without getting like emotional. And I'll just start really thinking about where I was at and who I was and the stupid things I was doing and the path that I was on and the ridiculous love and grace of God that was shown in my life to me directly, right? Because, you know, I love the expression that a man with an experience has no need for an argument with somebody else. Like, I don't have to argue with you. I know, like, I've experienced the grace of God, right? So that was not my point. My point was, like, I've tried to think about this and not get emotional. It's just impossible for me to think about this and not get emotional. And so thinking about who you were and maybe, man, just how God, in spite of you, loves you and chose you and extends his mercy. I love how it says that he lavishes his love on us. As we take time to think about that, you know what happens? It makes it a little bit easier to love other people. Right? Because you know who you were, and you know the stupid things that you did, and you know all of the mistakes that you made, and in spite of that, God loves you. That's the important, that's the the important thing to look at. If you think about the future and how God has set eternity in your hearts, like it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that God set eternity in our hearts, it helps us to remember that this isn't it. That maybe your current struggles and maybe life is just hard for you. Can we just be honest this morning? Right? Maybe life is not everything that you thought it should be. Maybe there's just one struggle after another struggle after another struggle, and you just can't seem to make sense of everything. It helps to remember that God has set eternity in your hearts, that this is just a finite portion of all that we're really created for, right? So that's what it's important. That's why thinking is important. It helps us from becoming overwhelmed by circumstances, because again, if you think big picture and long term, this is just a blip on the radar, man. Like, this is just a speck in the grand scheme of things. And so thinking futuristically, long term, that you were created for more than just this, it helps you from being overwhelmed by anything that life can throw at you. I think most importantly, we just need to think about Jesus. Amen. I need to think about Jesus more. I heard a quote one time. I was listening to, there's a missionary, and he was talking about a conversation he had with somebody. And here's the deal. We all have things that we think about. I think about sports and stuff and guy stuff and weather and not really, but, you know, we think about a lot of different things, but how much do we think about Jesus? And so the conversation was with this guy, and the guy asked the missionary, he's like, what do you think about a lot? And his response was, I think a lot about Jesus. And I think that's the most important and most powerful thing that we can absolutely do. If you think about Jesus, you think about the giver of life, you think about who you were and you're not who you were anymore because of Jesus. You think about the Savior of your soul, like the fact that we have hope, we have an opportunity for eternal life simply because he loves us. You think about this hope for the hopeless. You think about people who are despair, in despair and downtrodden, and now there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, those are the things that we need to think about. You think about the father to the fatherless, because that's a message our world needs to hear, right? You think about this God who loves us and fills the void and absence that people create, and that's what he wants to do. Like, he wants to be to us what nobody else can be, and those are the things that we need to think about. Think about the comfort that he brings to the afflicted. Because sometimes I just need some comfort, right? Like, you know, I try to be a grown man. I'm trying to be tough and hard and all that stuff. And sometimes I just need to be comforted. And you're not too big for that. And you're not too manly. And you're not too macho to be comforted by this incredible God who loves you and understands every single thing that you go through and deal with. He's the encourager of the downtrodden. He's the breath of fresh air in a world full of pollution. I don't know how many of you guys have asthma. I have asthma. And I'm convinced it's from the pits of hell. It's the worst thing in the world. It's just my humble opinion. So if you've ever had asthma and you can't breathe, when you get a breath of fresh air, you hit your inhaler, man, it changes your life. It changes your life. It's the best thing in the world. Like, man, you can have all the fun you want to have. You can have all the drugs you want to have or whatever. Just give me my inhaler. I'm good. And I think about Jesus and the breath of fresh air in this world of pollution and the fact that you can breathe again, it's huge. And those are the things that we need to think about. He's a drink of water to the thirsty. Have you ever been just parched and you needed a drink of water? Like, that's what Jesus is to us. And he's the lover of the unlovables. Because I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I can't fathom how God would choose or want or long to love me because of all the things that I've done. And that's what Jesus does. And these are the things that we need to think about. Like, as his followers, as his people, as his ones that have been chosen and called out, these are the things that we should think about. Because if we think about these things, it changes our life. If we think about who he is and what he wants us to do, it changes the way that we live. And if it changes the way that we live, it changes the world that we live in. And that's what it's all about. That's the power of thinking. So, as you go out and go into your week and continue your life and do whatever it is that you have to do, take time to think. Take time to think this week. Take time to think each day. And don't just think, but think about the right things. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we absolutely love you. God, thank you so much for this time that we've had to be together today. God, we pray, God, that you would help us to not just forget or move on from these ideas, but we would take time each day or every other day or just however our schedule allows, God, to think about you, to meditate on you, to have deep and concentrated thoughts about you and what you want to do in our life and how you're working in these circumstances that we go through. God, I pray that we never forget your love for us, that we never forget to think about who it is that we were and who it is that we are now and the path that you've placed us on, the life that you've changed, the transformation that's taken place in our lives. Help us to think about these things so that, God, we can share that with other people. We can be just like you, light that shines in the darkness. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you so much for all you do, and it's in your precious name we pray, and everybody said, amen.